You'd never know it from the road, but in the woods in Allentown, there's a small monument to just how resourceful people can be when they have to be.
I find a lot of stuff dumpster diving and whatnot.
Like, that's Davina Delore, inside the shack she's built, of scrap wood mainly, but there's styrofoam too, and it's keeping the inside cool on a humid August afternoon. The radio's on, and Delore says it will be until the batteries run out.
I have a light, another light over there that run off of solar.
When she's not working on her shelter, Delore sells scrap metal and works odd jobs. Her main expense is her gender transition, which started 4 years ago. Back then, she had an apartment and a car and was making $20 an hour driving a forklift. But she lost that job in 2010 after new management came in and cleaned house. Her next job was part-time and paid $9 an hour.
I wasn't making it. And then that job was a temporary job. I only worked there for 3 months. And then the only jobs I could find were 7 1/4. It got to the point where I'm like, all these temp jobs just kept screwing me over, and I kept getting less money, less money, less money. I lost my place. I ended up out in the woods somewhere. I still had a car. I decided to sell my car, sell everything I got, pretty much. Took all my artwork and stuff and put it all in a storage unit, and I went down the Appalachian Trail.
Delore came back to the Lehigh Valley, but her luck never changed. Steve Berg is vice president for programs and policy at the National Alliance to End Homelessness. He says Delore's story is not uncommon.
Particularly among the sort of lowest skilled people, the lowest earning people, the employment situation is still very grim for that part of the population. So it just makes housing difficult to afford. And for people for whom that's the most severe, they end up on the streets.
Berg says that's compounded by federal funding cuts that are the most severe in his memory. Despite that, the nation's homeless population is trending downward. Pennsylvania, on the other hand, has increased 3 of the past 4 years, including 2013. 81% of last year's increase was driven by unsheltered homeless people like Delore. For them, places like Allentown, Harrisburg, Scranton, and Reading are convenient because they're urban but near wooded and otherwise secluded areas.
I hop on my bike, go across the Tillman Bridge, and I'm in town, and you know, and I can get to like soup kitchens and food banks pretty easy. If I want to go online, look jobs up, I take my bike and I go a half a block.
Sometimes these unfortunate circumstances are linked to educational deficiencies or substance abuse, mental illness, poor financial planning, bad luck, a combination of these factors, or maybe none of them. Root causes are important to address, but compounded by economic factors, they're manifesting now, and not only in homelessness. Compared to national norms, poverty and unemployment are skyrocketing in Pennsylvania's distressed cities. As redevelopment efforts pick up, city leaders have shut down homeless camps in places like Reading, ranked the poorest city in the country last year. Allentown also has closed a few encampments, and one goal of that city's 10-year plan to end homelessness is to eliminate the camps entirely. That's been controversial. Ryan Vernick, director of housing programs for the Conference of Churches, says he and others visit the camps multiple times before they're closed in hopes of connecting people living there with housing. Vernick and his organization are key players in Allentown's 10-year plan, a model that's been advanced since 2000 by HUD and the National Alliance to End Homelessness. Allentown officials closed the first camp 4 years ago. It was under a 100-year-old bridge that's now being renovated, part of a $500 million construction boom in the city's neighborhood improvement zone. A planned hockey arena is expected to drive more development. Vernick says Allentown's focus on homelessness is economically driven, at least in part.
I think a lot of the reason that the city is working on this project is for development reasons.
Another objective of Allentown's 10-year plan is to put 150 chronically homeless people into permanent supportive housing by 2017. They don't always want the housing that is available, though, and sometimes they don't qualify. Vernick says he doesn't have anything to offer couples without children, for example, or that's unassociated with a particular faith. In the Commonwealth's capital of Harrisburg, officials are going about things differently. Harrisburg and Dauphin County officials created their own 10-year plan to end homelessness. It doesn't even mention camps, and they seem to exist undisturbed in the city. One that's highly visible has come and gone for years. Highway ramps surround it, tents lined up on grass beside a burn barrel and stack of firewood. Nearby, thick trees obscure still more tents. Robert Long lived there after he lost his job. He's since employed again and has a place to stay, but says Harrisburg has a reputation among the homeless population as being a good place to go because they'll be left alone there.
Here, Harrisburg, they don't really say anything about it.
Stakeholders say camps aren't always as prevalent in Harrisburg as they are now, but city solicitor Neil Grover says officials rarely take action absent a public safety risk.
Because what do you do? Do you move them where?
Back in Allentown, Delore says she's tried getting housing through service providers, but finds the process cumbersome. The alternative is she's constantly moving.
They keep shutting people down and chasing them out of the woods and chase them to other places, you know, and then they got to go somewhere else.
Delore's been in her current spot since April. She dreams of finishing college, but for now is working toward a commercial driver's license because she needs a job, a permanent one, and figures that's her best shot.
You know, just keep on doing stuff and something will happen.
Emily Previty, Keystone Crossroads.